Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We are online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. There is a time when the whole world will be called to understand God's truth. Everybody will understand the truth of God. Their minds will be open to it. And if you look at the world of religion today and the world in general, there are many different ideas about what constitutes truth. Now, a common thought in so-called Christianity is that God is in competition with Satan for the souls of mankind today, as some would call it. Some people sincerely believe that they have to do all they can to get people to accept Jesus today, or they fear those people will lose out on salvation. Now, of course, there are many people that have never heard the name of Christ, and God is not an unfair God. He's a loving God, and He wants everybody to be saved. And He will do that in His time. God is not in competition with Satan today. He is not trying to save the whole world right now. Let's notice what Christ said in Matthew 24 and verse 14. If you have a Bible, go ahead and look these up with me. These are really interesting scriptures and fascinating to see what is recorded in the pages of the Bible. Matthew 24 and verse 14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So notice it's going to be preached as a witness. The gospel or good news of the soon coming kingdom and family of God would be preached as a witness. A definition of witness is public affirmation by word or example of usually religious faith or conviction. The word goes out. It's a public affirmation. It's a teaching of the truth. God's true gospel message is preached publicly by the Philadelphia Church of God, who sponsors this radio station and this program. And it was preached by Herbert W. Armstrong in the 20th century. So the message has gone out. The true gospel has been preached as a witness. But most people don't respond to God's truth today. And of course, God is not calling the majority yet. But it goes out as a witness. However, when God sets His hand to save the world, He will save it. There doesn't need to be any fear that people are going to slip through the cracks. God knows. I mean, He says in His word, He knows when a sparrow falls dead to the ground. How many birds are out there? He knows the hairs on our heads. He knows the number of the stars. He calls them by name. There are far more stars out there than there are people. He knows people. He knows everybody. He knows you. He knows me. And He doesn't want anybody to perish. He has a plan of salvation for mankind. God's plan of salvation is pictured by His seven annual festivals. The first three festivals, which occur during the spring in the Northern Hemisphere, those picture great events leading to the first spiritual harvest of spirit-begotten human beings into God's family. First fruits. Passover is a memorial of Christ's sacrifice for our sins. The Feast of Unleavened Bread pictures our putting sin away and our constant need to obey God. And Pentecost pictures the spiritual begettal and the maturing of the first fruits of God's plan. Now, during the fall in the Northern Hemisphere, we come to the last four festivals. There's seven in total. These last four portray tremendous events yet to occur in God's plan. The Feast of Trumpets, the first of these four, pictures the return of Jesus Christ to raise the first fruits to immortality and to set up God's government on earth. Then we go to the Day of Atonement. That pictures the deposing and removal and binding of Satan for 1,000 years. With Satan's sinful influence gone, mankind can then be reconciled and made at one with God. 1,000 years of peace and prosperity will follow, and those who are first fruits of God's spiritual harvest first born into God's family and co-inheritors with Jesus Christ, will join him in ruling the earth. The spirit-born saints, as the bride of Christ, will be given the opportunity to aid their husband in bringing the spiritual knowledge necessary for salvation to every human then alive and to those born during the millennium. There's going to be tremendous blessings and joy that break out during the millennium, physically and spiritually. This happy millennium is pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles, the sixth of God's seven annual festivals, picturing his plan of salvation. And then, of course, there is the last great day. And that last great day then pictures the 100-year period after the millennium, when all those that have lived and not known God's truth and have died during history will be resurrected and given a chance to also learn God's plan and to be born into his family, to develop the character of God so they can be in God's family as well. That's a very quick summation of the holy days, just to set the stage. How much do you know about these holy days? We have to understand these days and what they picture to understand God's plan of salvation for mankind. How often do you hear these holy days taught, spoken about? They come straight out of the Word of God. They're right out of the Bible. You can read all about them. If you want to find the true church of God, one thing you have to find is a group that teaches and observes these holy days. You can see that God's New Testament church taught the meaning and observance of God's festivals and holy days throughout the Roman Empire. There's a lot of history out there, biblical and secular, that shows that God's people have taught these days, that they have understood them over the years. One example we can look at is in Acts 20 and verse 16. Acts 20 and verse 16. We can see here Paul. It says, "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost." There's other examples of Paul keeping Pentecost as well, and he kept all of God's holy days. But he kept Pentecost. Now, you don't hear much about Pentecost in the world today, in the so-called Christian world. You'll hear about Easter. You'll hear about Christmas. But how about these holy days? How about Pentecost? How about the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Last Great Day? These are days that Christ kept and Christ taught. The apostles taught this in the first century. God's church down through the ages has understood these holy days. How much do we understand about these holy days and the plan that God has for mankind, the plan of salvation? Now, even after many in the early church fell away from God's truth, they did retain for some time the doctrine of the millennium. This is a doctrine, again, this is what the Feast of Tabernacles pictures, the millennium. We can see this doctrine explained in Revelation 20, verses 1 through 6. It says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Of course, that has everything to do with the Day of Atonement. Verse 3, it says, "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more." Satan's out there deceiving the nations today. It says, "Till 1,000 years should be fulfilled." That's the millennium. 1,000 years should be fulfilled. "And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. There's that millennium, 1,000 years. Now, there's a lot of information in these verses, and if you're not up to speed on the meaning of all of it, you can go to thetrumpet.com and look up these different topics, and it's explained very well. But for our purposes today, we're focusing on this millennium and God's holy day plan. Verse 5 says, "But the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This is where the teaching on the millennium comes from. This millennium is the 1,000-year rule of Christ and his spirit-born saints. And so this doctrine of the millennium was commented on hundreds of years after the death of the apostles. In secular history, you can see that. One example is in the ecclesiastical history, Eusebius, translated by Isaac Boyle. And it says, in the 2nd century, Papias of Hierapolis in Asia Minor is quoted as having said, there would be a certain millennium after the resurrection, and that there would be a reign of Christ on this very earth. He understood that there would be this millennium period. There would be a 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth during this millennium. Irenaeus, Bishop of Lyons, France, wrote in the latter half of the 2nd century, for in as many days as this world was made, in so many 1,000 years it reaches its consummation. 7-day week, 7,000-year plan. We did a program on that a while ago. See, he understood that. This teaching remained to some extent, even though a lot of the depth and the meaning was lost, but they understood some of it still about the millennium. And then, after quoting several Old Testament passages referring to the millennium, he continued, this bishop, all such things refer not to heavenly matters, but to the times of the kingdom when the earth has been restored by Christ. Notice that. This was not about heaven, the third heaven, but this was about the kingdom of God on earth. They understood that. The kingdom when the earth has been restored by Christ. We talked about that just in a recent program. This was understood by people centuries after the original apostles. Now, they lost a lot of God's truth, but a lot of this teaching on the millennium still existed at that time. Even these historians understood that the millennium pictured the reign of Christ and his resurrected saints on this earth. They were not under the delusion that people would go to heaven, but instead that God's government would in fact come to this earth. They understood that. So how come you don't hear much about Christ's rule on earth? How come you don't hear much about the millennium? How come you don't hear much about God's holy day plan from all the churches today? Churches that claim to believe in Christ, they claim to believe the Bible. How come we don't hear about Christ's reign on this earth and God's holy day plan and his plan of salvation for mankind? What happened to God's holy day plan of salvation? And how come that understanding was lost? We'll look at that right after this short break here on Live by Every Word. You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We'll be right back.
One may blind his eyes to existing facts and trends and say the world cannot get any worse than it already is. Or, if we just ignore the conditions and don't worry, perhaps they'll go away. But these conditions and trends won't just go away. Not unless they are caused to go away. The scriptures of the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation of the Supreme God, have foretold today's world conditions and trends, and give us the advanced news of coming peace on earth, of universal prosperity, of happiness and joy, of veritable utopia. This is the good news of the world tomorrow, and it is absolutely sure. This coming world is vividly described in our booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Bible prophecy explains in detail how God will intervene to save mankind from destroying himself. Jesus Christ will return to earth, putting an end to the rule of man and restore God's government on earth. To learn much more about this prophesied utopia, please visit thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for joining me online also at kpcg.fm and a live link at thetrumpet.com. All of these programs are in podcast form. You can download them if you'd like to or listen to them online at thetrumpet.com, kpcg.fm, or download them from iTunes or other locations. We're talking today about God's holy day plan of salvation for mankind, specifically looking at the millennium, that thousand-year reign of Christ on this earth. That was understood by many historians, as we saw in the first half, because they understood what God taught about it. The gospel was preached in the Roman Empire for a time until it was silenced, until it was persecuted. What happened to that message? What happened to the message of salvation for mankind pictured by the holy days of God? Well, it came under attack. It came under attack. In the 4th century, the book of Revelation was removed from the general reading list of the established Christian church. Why? Because it plainly referred to the millennium. The Encyclopedia Britannica, the 11th edition, says, "Thus the troublesome foundation on which the doctrine of the millennium might have continued to build was gotten rid of." They did not want that teaching there. Writing about this period of time, Edward Gibbon, in his book The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, stated, "The doctrine of Christ's reign upon earth was considered by degrees a doubtful and useless opinion, and was at length rejected by false Christianity as the absurd invention of heresy and fanaticism." So what was behind this turn away from God's true teachings? I mean, we see that some people decided they didn't want to hear about it, or they wanted that teaching to be buried. But why? What was behind that? Well, the answer is in Revelation 12. Revelation 12. And the reason this is important to look at is because even if you do understand God's holy day plan, or you are familiar with it, you can lose it. It can be taken away. It was taken away until it was restored in this end time by Herbert W. Armstrong through him. The holy day plan was really forgotten. It needed to be restored. And why was it forgotten? Why was it taken away? Well, it's because of Satan the devil. Let's see this in Revelation 12. Revelation 12 and verse 1. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." Now this is talking about God's true church, as we'll see. "And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads." This is picturing Satan the devil. It says, "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth." Of course, that's referring to angels who became demons. "And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." You know the history. He tried to destroy Christ. Verse 5 says, "And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness," and that's God's true church, "where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days." And of course, that's referring to years, a day for a year. Here is a quote from Gerald Fleury from his free book, The True History of the True Church, which is a must read. You can get it at thetrumpet.com. He says, "Revelation 12 covers a pivotal period in the history of God's church and of another church ruled by Satan." Again, we're looking at this in the context of what happened to the teaching of the millennium and God's holy day plan of salvation for mankind. Mr. Fleury continues, "God's church is clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. This is a picture of the tremendous power God gives to his church, which is being prepared to rule with Christ over the entire universe. Verse 2 of Revelation 12 shows that the subject here begins with Christ's birth. But then there is also another wonder in heaven, a great red dragon, or Satan. He is pictured here with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. These heads, horns, and crowns picture world-ruling empires in human history. Empires that were governed by Satan himself." Did you know that Satan rules the governments of this earth? Well, he does. You can match this with other biblical prophecies, particularly in the book of Daniel, and the record of history to learn what these empires were. The last of them, the Roman Empire, has 10 horns, meaning that there would be 10 resurrections of that empire. The last of these resurrections is prophesied to occur just before the second coming, and it is happening on the world scene right now. Mr. Fleury continues, and he says, in this vision, Satan was ready to devour the Christ child, but God protected his son. This child was born to rule the world and replace Satan, who rules this world now. And you can see that in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. We'll look at that in just a minute. He says, the whole world has been deceived. That includes all religions of this world except the true church of God. But that does not mean the deceived people are lost forever. God is not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. God will save most people in these deceived religions. However, he is going to do it according to his master plan and in his time frame. Satan eagerly longed to devour Christ. Today, he longs to devour God's church, the people of God. Over the centuries, he has been very consistent in using one particularly potent weapon, and it has done tremendous damage to the true church of God. And so I hope that gives more understanding there into Revelation chapter 12. This is why the teaching on the millennium has all but vanished unless you listen to the Philadelphia Church of God today or God's Holy Day Plan. You don't hear that teaching anywhere else. And the reason is because Satan has destroyed it over the years. He destroyed it. He hates it. Because what is the millennium picture? Christ coming to this earth to reestablish the government of God and to rule the world. Who rules it today? Satan does. He does not want to lose his rule of the world. Notice this in 2 Corinthians 4. One last passage today. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, but if our gospel be hid, now remember, gospel is a soon coming kingdom and family of God, the good news of that. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that's Satan the devil, the God of this world, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That history we covered a little bit earlier about how people came along and said, well, don't talk about the book of Revelation. Don't talk about the millennium. Don't talk about these things. Well, it's because the God of this world influenced them. Satan the devil. He hates that teaching. He doesn't want to lose his rule on this earth. And yet he is going to. That's why he hates God's holy day plan so much. Even if you know about these holy days of God and what they picture, and even if you observe these days, there is a danger that you can forget them or take them for granted or become lukewarm towards them and what they picture. We can't take Satan lightly. He is the God of this world. Many people knew this truth over the years, and especially in our day today, many people knew this truth. Many people attended the Feast of Tabernacles and knew what it meant. And most of them don't attend it anymore. Why? Christ didn't change. His truth didn't change. The millennium didn't change. The fact that that's coming in God's plan of salvation through the holy days that he reveals. None of that changed. But the God of this world has blinded people's minds. It can happen. It can happen. And that's why we cannot take God's holy days for granted. Don't take them for granted. During and after the reign of Emperor Constantine, who ruled from AD 306 to 337, leaders in the established Christian church began to look upon the Roman Empire as a kingdom of God. Well, they changed it. They began to view the millennial rule of Jesus Christ as having already begun. Well, see what happens? Satan's the God of this world. He changes minds, deceives minds. Some professing Christian leaders of the 20th century have even gone so far as to claim that the doctrine of the millennial rule of Christ is not to be found in either the New Testament Gospels or Epistles, or even in the traditions of the Apostles. If you can believe that. Now, if you don't know your Bible, that might sound okay. But if you look at your scriptures, you know that's not true. And we're going to, in future programs, take a look at the scriptures that really enhance the meaning and show the meaning and bring out the meaning of these holy days of God. We cannot take God's holy days for granted. Look at the history. The meaning of them has been lost over the years because Satan is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, you look at Revelation 12, you can see what Satan's been doing and how he wants to destroy these holy days. There are two books that are great to get. They're free at thetrumpet.com. Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which? And also The True History of the True Church. Those are books that you need to understand and not take God's truth for granted, God's holy days for granted, because they have been lost over the years as Satan has worked to deceive this whole world. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for joining me. And until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.